Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Due to the coronavirus pandemic, we are continuing to record this podcast remotely for the safety of our guests and our team. So, on with the show. Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time. How are we? Are we good? You're keeping it together? Are you ready for another slice of fine wine and conversation? Good, because that's exactly what's coming your way. Welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks well-known friends three thought-provoking questions, all washed down with three glasses of wine. And this week I'm joined by a trio of women who are no stranger to wine and conversation. They are the hosts of the brilliant podcast, Drunk Women Solving Crime. If you haven't heard them at work already, please do. The show is a treat, with each episode seeing them joined by a celebrity guest who shares their own experience of crime. Before they move on to a real-life true crime story that they all attempt to solve together whilst drinking. You're sold, aren't you? I know. Hit the subscribe button. So, let's find out who these funny, tipsy crime busters are, shall we? Well, Hannah George is a former stand-up and award-winning writer. She's written extensively for children's television and Paddington the movie, fancy, and writes and directs online sketches that have clocked up over 120 million views. She was raised in the Isle of Wight and now lives in London and got her start in comedy after gaining a degree in it at Southampton University, where she won Paramount Comedy Student Comedian of the Year, which led to her being hilariously titled officially Britain's funniest woman by the Sun newspaper. Sitting alongside her is Kate Wilkins, a comedian who also writes children's books as Catherine Wilkins. She lives in Hertfordshire with her husband, fellow comedian and podcaster Richard Herring, and their two young children. And completing the lineup of drunk women is American comedian and a woman who was a former psychotherapist, Taylor Glenn, whose Instagram also suggests she's a mean baker, especially in lockdown. Raised in Pennsylvania, she married a Welshman, with whom she has a daughter, and after a stint in Wales, they now live in London. So get ready to pop your corks. I'm dialing up the drunk women. Oh, girls, seriously, thanks for dialing in, because I realise you probably spent most of 2020 like this, sat in a small room somewhere with headphones on, you know, trying to pull it off as a living. Although I know some of us, Taylor, have been baking because your Instagram made me feel shameful.
Oh, well, that's just my, we all have different kinds of self-care and that's mine. Lockdown started and I thought, I will eat a bag of flour every day. I'm going to look after me.
And you did. My God, if Bake Off don't come calling, there's something wrong. I'm just putting it out there.
You should
I know, but
go
I want to be on the I want to be on the celebrity one. So I'm like, wait until I am really successful. So I'm going to be 100 years old, but I'll get on.
Are you crazy? You only started comedy at 30? And now look at you, solving crime.
I know that you do research because I've listened to this before, but I'm like freaked out. I'm like, do you know about that speeding ticket I got in 96?
No, but I want to understand because there were gaps, right? So I'm being just generally nosy. This isn't even anything to do with the questions. Where did you meet your husband and why did you come to Wales?
Oh my God.
I want to solve this crime. Why?
And it's hard to say which one of us committed the crime, who was the victim, a little bit of both. Well, I came over to London kind of to take a late onset gap year because I was a psychotherapist in New York. I had this really serious job.
Proper job.
Proper job.
Not this nonsense that we all do.
No, proper grown-up job. Well, this is the funny thing with comedy is so many people do this crossover into the psych professions, but it seems like it usually goes the other way. So you've got like Pamela Stevenson, Ruby Wax is trained now, and I'm guessing that's the healthier way of doing it, like starting in comedy and then growing up.
Yeah.
But I went, no, I don't want to. I don't want to be a grown-up anymore. So, yeah, I moved over here with my friend, and I had every intention of going back to the States, and I met my husband at the tail end. And seriously, when I was a kid, I used to tell my parents that I was going to meet somebody in Ireland. I didn't know about Wales, fair enough, but obviously a Celtic thing. And I said, he's going to have black hair and blue eyes, and I'm going to marry him. And then I saw this guy, and I was like, oh, shit. So
he had the
right coloring, and that's all it took for Taylor Glenn.
So you just up sticks and stayed the other side of the world just for that.
It's true love.
It is. It's so romantic.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's lovely.
It's so, girls, proper romance.
So, girls, I know that you're good together, but what I wanted to know is how did you get together? Where did this beautiful thing begin?
Good question. Well, we all met through comedy, so we all come from a stand-up background. So Katie and I met about, God, actually you shared a picture with me today on Facebook that was us in Edinburgh 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So we must have known each other because we shared literally a bed in Edinburgh, didn't we? Like we shared that. Like, it turned out there was only one single bed in the tiny room.
We took it in turns with the bed.
We did, didn't we? And one on the floor. And then I was
I'm so romantic.
Apart from the night Hannah brought loads of boys back.
Genuinely so they could sleep on the floor because I'm a nice person. And it turned out not someone they want to roof, but you know, it's fine. But I do feel like I pushed Katie into her relationship with her husband a little bit because you were seeing Rich.
He had a double bed.
Terrified.
And I was like, why aren't you going to stay with that great guy again?
Yeah, I'm going to have the bed 2 nights in a row.
Yeah, and get all those boys back to not plan me. But anyway.
The youth is, youth is wasted on the young, isn't it? And what would we give for one of those days, those nights right now?
Yeah.
So you've obviously shared sort of a variety of flea pits on the comedy trail and that's kind of solidified the friendship.
Yeah.
can you remember what your first impressions were of one another and be really honest, just in case, you know, they're not glowing?
Also, I think, Hannah, we first met it was probably the tail end of 2007 at a gig in Southampton, I want to say.
Yeah, you jest at the
you
Talking
jest.
Head. I'm not saying it meant more to me, Katie, but that is where we were.
And I remember thinking that you were very funny and you had all those jokes about being bullied and you read out from your diary.
Oh, yeah.
That girl's a victim. That's... I reckon I could be her friend.
She'll be grateful for me.
And God damn it, I was. And I remember actually seeing you and seeing your stand-up for the first time. And I remember thinking, wow, she's like Stuart Lee, which I don't know is what Rich saw in you. Because, like, genuinely, it was just your deadpan kind of... I'd never seen anything like it. I just thought it was brilliant.
And Taylor, what were your first impressions?
Do you know what? It's along similar lines. I feel like this happens with women a lot, that you connect on a vulnerability, a shared vulnerability. And I met Katie and Hannah much later on. I don't know where I was doing gigs that I never met you guys. Oh. Whatever the equivalent of like the dark web, I was on like the dark circuit that nobody knew about. I was in Budapest and shit. What can I say? I'm big in Eastern Europe. But I, so Katie invited me to her house because she wanted to create a sort of comedy NCT group, sort of saying like anyone who's had kids in this profession, it's just not the same. So when you get together with like your regular baby club people, they just don't understand what your life is like. So I went to Katie's house. I knew who she was. And I get really nervous when I don't know anybody. So I necked Prosecco, like proper drunk. And Katie had had a shitload of Prosecco. And I don't even know how it started. Katie, I feel like we barely said hello. And we just started talking about our mothers.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, my mother damaged me. My mother damaged me. And it was just, the rest was history. I was like, we are connected for life.
Yeah, yeah. We properly bonded. It was so random, but so great.
It was great. It's great. And then I met Hannah through Katie. And then we wrote a script together, which you'll be glad to know. nothing came of it. So,
but it did the rounds for 3 good years.
Did the rounds for 3 solid years.
A lot of meetings.
Yeah.
Ooh, so many. It was in such solid development. It was so much promise, as with everything. but we got along so well. And it was in that waiting period, that excruciating, like, is anything going to happen with this? And we're like, well, we work well together. What should we do? And Katie had been holding on to this title, which she had told both of us about, because I can remember being at Katie's house again after a lot of wine. And you said, oh, I've always had this title, Drunk Women Solving Crime, but I don't know what it is. And we just sort of went podcast, right? Sat in a grimy old pub. And the just sort of made up the format. We're like, how could we do this? And it sort of turned into a quiz. It was like, well, if we quiz each other on the details of cases and we go way back in time so we can laugh at it.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how it came about.
Yeah. It was like that organic way you're sort of joke pitching and then you're like, no, actually, this has legs. I'm not even joking now, you guys.
And have you been surprised by how quickly the show's grown and the momentum it's gained and the guests that you've managed to secure are amazing?
I mean, I didn't know what to expect. So everything has been a complete surprise.
Yeah, it's properly like snowballed. And I think if you've been in this industry long enough, like generally the snowball melts immediately. But we've actually snowballed this time. And that's been really exciting. And I think like there's that expression, isn't there, that success breeds success. And like, so the bigger we get, the more people are going to say yes to it. So it kind of just makes sense. But, and we, although obviously we've been going for about 2 years now, and although podcasts have been around for 10 years, I think maybe even in the last 9 months because of lockdown and stuff, so many podcasts are there now. Mm. But I think we got in just before maybe, and we
the
became
big explosion.
People.
Literally, it's like as the lift doors were closing.
Yeah.
Squeezed in for Indiana Jones.
Yes, Indiana Jones.
Quick, except we're going to ride this wave. I don't want the next wave.
Yeah.
Wearing the wine glass is a great image.
Don't leave the glass behind. Yoink.
That would be an excellent sketch.
That would.
So, are you ready for your first question, ladies?
Yes, please.
I'm sticking with a slight crime vibe here.
Okay.
If you could perform a citizen's arrest on anyone from your past who has wronged you across the course of your life, who would it be and what's their crime?
Oh, that's such a good question.
I'm so pleased you like it.
Oh, my God. But I'm going to answer whatever I end up thinking of, and then I'm going to want to ring you tomorrow and go, no,
tomorrow.
I've thought of a better one. There's loads of people that have wronged me, and I'm more annoyed about this one.
I'll smash cut to 40 minutes time. You're still talking.
I won't shut up about who I should have picked.
Alan Levin!
Jim! Oh, that's amazing. It is one of those poets, so brilliant. It's like, I don't want to get it wrong because this might come to life and the universe will be like, well, you answered. You answered Kate.
But your mind's like an IKEA catalogue right now of all the things that are swirling past going, that one, that
we're
one.
We're like Sherlock Holmes with all the people that have annoyed us.
Just somebody that you'd just like to teach a bit of a lesson. They don't have to go to prison, but they will have a citizen's arrest. And let's make it quite public. Let's throw in a dash of humiliation.
Because there's the other issue of how dark do we take this? It's like
those dark light. Right?
Oh,
people that should have really been arrested. That's a whole other category.
That's my second question.
You know, I have these vague, it's so funny how you describe like everything going by. And I have like, I never had like super horrible experiences with bullying, but I definitely had some years in elementary, primary school where I just felt so different than the other kids. And I was this sort of like, now I get it. I'm like, oh, I was the creative weirdo, but I didn't know that then. I just knew that I wanted to wear like weird vintage clothes and nobody else wanted to like break the rules like that. And I don't have one person in mind, but I have like this image of just like a whole bunch of blonde girls. No offense, Kate, not all blondes. Hashtag not all blondes. Who are just pretty ruthless, but I don't have like a specific, I've just kind of blurted out, but I would, can I arrest a group?
Yeah.
I'm going to arrest.
What does that mean? Let's do it. What did they do?
Yeah. I'm going to do a citizen's arrest on this sort of lump of girls that I remember.
Lump of girls.
Lump of girls. A group of girls who bully is called a lump.
Yeah.
The collective noun for bullying is a
lump. It's not a flock. It's a lump.
Yeah, not a school of fish, a lump of mean girls.
Yeah.
I always remember, like, people, well, I say people, my mum used to say, they're just jealous of you, Hannah. And I was like, they're not. And it was really sweet. And God, I mean, love her for it. But it is that thing of, yeah. Yeah, and I agree that bullies are probably you know, as Katie knows from my teenage diary, they were in my life as well. But in a way, I'd like to thank them because actually, like, without them being so awful, like, literally every single piece of success I have in my career, I'm like, fuck you, name it acted, because they can give a shit. I've friended them on Facebook, of course I am. And, like, they're getting on with their lives.
So two-faced.
That's good.
That's really big. Ugly children. But the point is that part of me wants to thank bullies for
making because also, you the miraculous son of a bitch that you are.
So we have this running thing on the podcast, which we started doing because we always get really positive and compliment each other. And we'll be like, no, you were talking. And so we will sing this jingle, female workplace. And I feel like what Hannah's just done is so female workplace because, like, we're supposed to be doing a citizen's arrest and you're like, I would actually thank my tormentors.
Don't worry, I'll subvert Hannah's. Watch this.
Yeah, okay, come on, Katie. Cool. Come on.
Black void, Hannah. Did it fill it? Or do you still cry at night? No, there we go.
Yeah, who would you arrest, Katie?
Okay, I've got it. I'm going to pick the really horrible boss that I worked for in a pub who actually hit me.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, let's definitely arrest him. Like real life, her or him.
It is officially assault. It wasn't hard, but it shouldn't have happened. So I was 19 working in this pub in my holidays from university. So I just finished my first year. And I was not a very worldly or confident 19-year-old. And everybody hated this guy. He was quite the psychopath. And we had to, like, everyone was just terrified. They were like, oh, you just have to watch out for him because he's just so angry. And, like, everyone just accepted their fate. And I was like, oh, okay, is this what we do? And then, so when you took an order, you had to hang up, you gave the chef the yellow bit and then you hung up the white bit. And then you checked if they'd had their starters and then you ticked it off. So I was looking at the white bit to check who I needed to tables to clear. And I went like this to like look at the thing above me. Like, sorry, for the listeners, my hand is on, I'm stroking my chin in a thoughtful pose, like checking the next thing I need to run off and do.
Lost in thought. Let's call it lost in thought.
Lost in thought. And he slapped my hand away from my face and went, don't touch your face. Like as if I was some kind of hygiene hazard, and it wasn't COVID times. It was like I was 19. And then I just like it just really derailed me, and then like I didn't have the wherewithal to go, oh, that's assault, I'm gonna report you, or that's not okay, or you shouldn't have done that. So all that happened was I just shook for the rest of my shift.
Did you not stand up to him and say you can't do that?
Because I just was I treat myself with love, but I was not confident. But so I kind of went into the toilets and just kind of like tried to calm down. Then I came out and I remember I was making like, you know, the Irish coffees they had on this pub menu where you had to put in loads of sugar and then the cream would float. So I was like trying to do this and you had to get it quite high, but not too high. And I was like shaking so much. I was like spilling it everywhere with these four coffees on this tray. And he was just like, he was watching me so happy. He was like, he had his arms folded and he was so smug, like watching me fail at like putting these coffees on this tray. And he was like, yeah, you f-. Like, he was so satisfied that he'd completely disrupted my inner, like, psychology or whatever. So I would like to publicly punish him because I couldn't do it when I was 19.
People in that position are often sadists, though. I've done yeah. a lot of waiting tables, and I feel like the managers were just really pathological.
Yeah.
Really messed up.
So anybody else that you think is worthy of the cuffs?
I remember when I was when I graduated from uni, and now I did a degree that, like, it was a degree in comedy writing and performance. It was the higher education equivalent of Running Away with the Circus. Like, literally, it's, and I am a comedy writer now, but to be fair, it's nothing to do with that degree I did. And, like, and I was the only woman on this course. So, like,
wow.
All of us graduated, I was the only girl that did it. So it's
which,
sort of...
Which is how you ended up, Hannah, with being labelled the officially the funniest woman in Britain by the Sun newspaper.
Oh, God, yeah. You see, this is it. This is the thing. And it's so stupid because I did this stupid degree.
It was great for our show in Edinburgh, though. Sorry, continue.
It was because Katie and I were doing a show in Edinburgh the year I graduated. And suddenly
the year of the boys.
The year of the boys, as it's well known. But yeah, so in a way, it was kind of good PR for Edinburgh and stuff. But I think for me, the person that I would put in the cuffs was basically, well, it was this like news. It was this media company that were like, oh, we think this is quite an interesting story. We want to run the story. Do you mind if we run a story on it? And I sort of relatively naively said, yeah, fine, do what you want. I don't care. But that was a sort of stupid thing because then all these articles came out quoting things I'd never said. Like, they didn't ever ask me for a quote.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was saying, well, really, my hero is Victoria Wood, and which is fine. Like, I was like, oh, actually, you've made me sound cooler because I probably would have said, like, someone else. But it was really weird, and it made me think, fucking hell, like, people, everything you read in the newspaper is completely bullshit. Even a story about this 20-year-old who's graduated. But this, but I do remember as well that this photographer showed up at like my parents' house, having not given him my parents' house's address.
Wow.
And then he was like, oh, I've come to take some pictures for the thing. And then I sort of checked it out and he was a proper photographer. But then he was like, will you jump off the wall, kind of like going, yeah, and will you do this and do that? And he was someone that, and I'm amazed.
Will you jump off the wall?
You know, like,
is that why?
Well, you know, that says I'm winning at comedy. Doesn't it?
You know, like graduation photos when people jump in the air.
Right.
Exactly.
He wanted,
and luckily,
wacky.
Age 20, I was confident enough to say, actually, no, I don't want to do that. And he got a couple of pictures, that the picture in the newspaper, The Sun, I think. Literally, I mean, it just looked terrible. I looked like a clown, essentially. And I, it's not from a vanity point of view, but it was from a, I could feel him trying to make me do something stupid so they could make me look like an idiot. And so I'd put him in there because I was a kid, you know, I was 20. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was so lucky that I thought to myself, do you know what, Hannah, don't jump off. Or, he didn't ask that. But like,
but you didn't want to be made to look a fool.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that he's probably somebody that, if you're sort of going around taking photos for newspapers of people who aren't famous, who don't actually know,
who have never been briefed on all this protocol.
Yeah, stop trying to make them look like idiots, because I've already got a degree in comedy writing and performance. I don't know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, my second question for you, ladies. It's a relatively simple one. When did you last do the right thing at the wrong time?
Ooh.
I have a great answer to this, and I was with Hannah. This is going to pop right into my head. So we met up outdoors. It was all kosher, and we're in a lovely garden in Dalston, catching up over some tea. We might have had some flasks, too, but that's by the by. And...
Flask. What's a flask?
A flask of like whiskey, essentially. It was good.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great.
I had just didn't
know it was like, I don't know. You're drinking out of a juicer at the moment. I don't know. It could have been turmeric.
I really like. I'm very experimental with my drinking vessels. I guess I had wine in my water bottle. I'll put it that way. And it was the kind with the little straw attached. And I was like, anyway.
Okay.
And we also had tea. It was legit. So Hannah went to the toilet and. This homeless woman came in with one of the people that sort of looks after the grounds in the garden, just sort of accompany her and let her ask for money, but sort of keeping an eye on her, right? And nobody was giving her money. And I never carry cash, ever, ever, ever. But I was like, well, I'll look in my bag. Who knows? Maybe there's a coin in there. And there was a 20-pound note that I totally forgot I had. And in an instant, as she was walking up to me, I just thought, well, I didn't know it was there, so I never would have spent it. So it's almost like it doesn't exist. So I just pulled it out, and she just gasped. Like, she was in shock. And as soon as I started talking and she heard my accent, I could just tell she was like, this idiot doesn't even know how much money. I'm like, there you go. But it was, yeah, it was like a really sweet moment. But it was sort of like, oh, what could I have done with 20 pounds? Like donating that to a charity would have gone a lot longer, you know? So it's just one of those moments where it was like, did I do that for me? I don't know. It was just a weird moment of like, this sexual...
Impulsive generosity. It's nice.
At university, a friend got dumped by this guy that I had never liked. And she was like, oh, I'm so distraught. And I was like, come to the pub. We'll have a drink. I'll cheer you up. And so we're having this like debrief and she's like really devastated and loves this guy. And instead of being like, yeah, this sucks, poor you, I saw this as an opportunity to be like, I never liked him. And I thought he was kind of a dick actually. And he was quite boring. No. And I like slagged him off so much because I was like, oh, finally, I can just tell her I've only been tolerating this jerk. And now, you know, this will make her feel better because she won't miss him now when I slag him off loads. And then they got back together.
Yeah.
Of course they did.
And then I didn't see her for ages.
I had one girlfriend that told another friend,
yeah,
and we all agonized over this, that she was being cheated on. And she got angry at the friend, said, I just didn't know. Now I've got to deal with it.
Oh, wow.
And you're like, sorry. I'm just thought I was saving you from the fire, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel right, does it?
That's a fascinating response.
Yeah.
I know you would never see that coming, right?
No.
No.
No. Wow. Your denial is so strong that even with presented with evidence, you're going to hold on to that.
It's head frying material, this.
It is funny though, because like sometimes what I worry about with podcasts is it's like sometimes with our podcast, I'll like get a message or read something from like a friend of mine from school who I didn't really know who listens to the podcast. And I'll be like, oh my God, they'll know that the story I told where I was a fucking hero is not true. And I never lie, but I kind of definitely sometimes massage that truth. No, to make it funny. But I don't know whether you find this, like, you know, when I'm tweeting or something, I'll always kind of slightly change the tweet to make it funny, like I had a thing that I did a majestic order of wine the other night, and I ordered so much that they offered me free glass hire. And that I'd awkwardly have to ask for two glasses.
But you're still struggling to think of a time that you've done the right thing, although the timing was off. I mean, it leads us to question, have you ever done the right thing?
Wow, this is super revealing, but no.
No.
I'm just trying to think of, like, when it's kind of come back on me or... Oh, God, and I'm sure, as soon as we finish this, I'm going to think of a perfect one.
Of course.
Hannah lives in a consequence-free environment.
Yeah, bitches. I don't know. I think I'm someone like, touch wood, that I sort of don't attract drama. So I'm just even trying to think of any drama, really.
Do you know? That must be amazing.
She's got very healthy boundaries.
She's a marvel. I don't understand her. I get upset about it sometimes.
I don't, really? So what, drama does not find you and you do not find drama?
Well, see, Hannah, and I've always marveled at Hannah about this, when I met her when she was just 20 or whatever she was, and like, I remember her telling me one day that she doesn't say yes to stuff if she doesn't want to do it. And I was like, what? We're allowed to do that. Yeah. So like, she won't be that person that flakes out at the last second because she won't have said yes. If she only says yes to stuff she's going to do, that she intends to do.
Who has those boundaries at 20? This is what I mean. This is what I mean by I get upset. It's, I want to study you. I almost want to go back to my old
profession. I am studying her.
Although I am going to throw in there that actually sometimes, like, certainly in lockdown, now that we've been allowed out and now we're not allowed back out again, but when we were allowed back out, having hankered for so long to be out, to see people, I was saying yes to everything. And then I got the fear. I was like, it's too much yesing.
Yeah.
And I felt like I couldn't say no to anybody. But then, to cancel all of that, I'd go and have a brilliant time and think, I'm so glad I said yes. So sometimes you might be missing out. You just don't know. But I admire the confidence in an assertive no thanks.
I think I also don't have a fear of missing out. Like, I kind of, if there had been a great party and I wasn't there, I'd just be like, it was probably because I wasn't there. It was a great party. I didn't want to ruin that for you. But I do know what you mean about lockdown, like coming out of lockdown and feeling, but that's when I think the boundaries are really good, because, you know, actually you had to use that time very cleverly, didn't you? You had to be like, I have to only see the people that I really want to see, or like, there's a reason why we
should. If I'm risking my life.
Yeah.
It's gotta be worth it.
Yeah. That's why I gave up stand-up, you know, because I was like, oh, wow, I'm not enjoying this anymore. And it's not what I want to do with my career. And I think anyone that has done stand up and slowly given it up, it always feels like it's sort of like almost like a failure of it. But actually, no, it's a decision. And it's like, this is not what I want to do. Because I'd always find myself saying yes to gigs and, like, you know, traveling to fucking Bermuda or something for 20 quid. And I have to pay for my own hotel. I'm like, why would I do that?
Now, in the olden days, and I'm not going to be precise about that, just back in the days, the average human lifespan was 42 years. So if you were living in the olden days and you knew that 42 years were all you had, how would you have lived your life differently and what bits would you have skipped?
Jeez Louise.
Because let's just have a little recap. So officially, like, in the olden days, I'm dead, 5 years gone, 47. So I'm not even here right now. It's almost like a Derek Okora moment.
I'd have 9 years left. I'm 33.
33. Brilliant. Lucky you. You've got 9 years left to go. Taylor.
I'm 42. That's why I gasped. I'm like, I'm done. I'm dead tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm literally living on borrowed time. Yeah. And Katie.
I've got exactly 2 years.
Right.
I've got to really start living now.
So when you think about it like that and you go, okay. I mean, I can't even ask this question. I'm dead. But what would you have done differently?
You know what? I have a roundabout answer to this question, because I think that I've done some, I've done at least some of the stuff, because when I was in my early 20s, my mum got cancer, And she has survived, but there's like loads of people in my, we all get cancer. Like it's all, I'm in a moderate to high risk group and not everybody has survived, but my mum did. And it was quite obviously a strange time. And I honestly think that, and I don't think that I was consciously confronting this because I was a repressed, like underconfident person, but on some level, I obviously had the shock of mortality and this is it, this is not the rehearsal, you know, do I really, what, you know, what matters, but not consciously, subconsciously. And I think, I honestly don't think that I would have tried to do stand-up comedy if that hadn't happened, because I think on some, because I was like, oh, I quite like comedy, I'm a fan, but I'm very scared of stuff, and I wanted to write, and I wanted to write funny stuff, and I wanted to, you know, I didn't know how to do it, I just read all the books of my heroes and how they did it, so I was like, well, I know I could look through the timeout listings and try and book a gig and try and write a type five, but that's not me, I don't think it'd be funny enough. But then I think on some level I was just like, again, not consciously, but I think part of me was like, what's worse? Like, you're going to die anyway. What's worse? 50 strangers think you're a dick, or you never try and you don't know and you haven't really lived. Mm-hmm. So I think that on some level that pushed me forward creatively to try all the stuff that I was too scared to do. So in a way, I feel like I've lived my best life. I don't think that. But I do think that... because I don't really do, I'm not really actively pursuing stand-up at the moment. And I wouldn't say I've quit like Hannah. Not that, I'm not calling you a quitter. I'm trying to use your words. You chose this, it was your decision. But I would say like I've paused. I still write down material that I want to turn into something, but I just never gig and do anything with it. So I don't know if I've got safe and comfy and I'm not doing all the stuff I technically want to do, or, you know, I've got kids, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like I've done like I've, you know, just stupid stuff like gigging at the Comedy Store. It is like, that was on my dream list when I was 15 that I didn't think would have ever happened. And I, so kind of, like part of me is like, my 15-year-old self would be very impressed with my life.
But it's great that you feel that you've done that, Katie, that you don't have that sense of regret.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, I remember thinking that myself when I always thought, well, I could die quite happy because I've done everything and more that I ever wanted to do. And then I became a mum and I thought, shit, I can't die. And, which is quite a dark thought, but I really did. And now I'm like, oh shit, I've really got to stay alive.
Yeah.
It's so much pressure to stay alive. I know.
It really is. Oh. I even had to, you know, I mean, like recently my son was going, if you don't stop smoking, you're going to die. And I'm like, you're right. I know I can't say, no, you're wrong. You know, that just flies in the face of science. So I had to give up smoking just so I don't die.
Yeah.
I can't die now. It's death is not an option.
Really.
And yet an inevitability.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So true though. Yeah. Us getting all morbid.
True. I mean, just to keep that morbid thing going, just to echo what Katie said, is I think the reason why I am like I am, which is like pretty positive and kind of like, is that, so when I was 17, my best friend died in a car crash, and that is just like, that was the thing that, like, and I mean, I can't even remember what I was like before, because I'm like, after that, you know, it takes a while to sort of rebuild yourself, but I was like, yeah, it's not the dress rehearsal, is it? It's like, she's not here anymore and I'm here. And I always remember that one of our drama teachers was a stand-up comedian, and she'd taken Jenny, my friend, up to Edinburgh, like as a sick former, and she was like taking her shows and stuff.
Wow.
And I was like, and she was like, we've got to go to Edinburgh. It's amazing. It's incredible. And I was like, yes, let's do it. And then the following year, she was dead.
Jesus.
And I was looking at this thing saying like comedy writing and performance course. And I was like, well, maybe I'll do that, because comedy is my love. I love comedy. I want to go to Edinburgh, an even more expensive way of going to Edinburgh. But yeah,
and also quite time consuming. Yeah, 3 years.
Hugely. What was I thinking?
I could have just gone to Edinburgh.
Yeah, be a punter, Hannah.
Yeah, I know. But you know, she told me about this like sausage and mash shop she went to. So I went there and I did that.
You remember her?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think from that moment, like, I've always lived my life with that thing of, it's, you know, she doesn't get to do it. So I want to sort of achieve all my dreams, not for her, for me. I mean, completely selfishly, I'm the one living it. But, you know, that's definitely sort of like
spurred on by that.
Yeah, though. Put me onto a path of like, literally, I'm only going to pursue happiness of myself and everyone around me and people I love, because there is nothing else really, is there? There's just like, you want the people you love to be happy. And yeah, so I weirdly, it's a very positive experience from something that was obviously quite awful.
Yeah,
but that's the, you know, that's three instances that we've discussed right there that have gone on to be profoundly life-changing in terms of your attitude and appetite for life.
Yeah, absolutely. I sometimes think about what I would be like as a person if that thing hadn't happened to me, and there's not that many things in my life that I can say with are that defining, and that was that moment. And yeah, and it feels actually, in retrospect, I've made it into a positive, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You're now living your life like you've only got 42 years, you know, in as much as, in as much as you don't want to miss a moment, you don't want to miss a beat.
Yeah.
There's no point in sort of, pursuing anything that doesn't make you happy. As long as you're not hurting anyone else, then.
Or just all that doesn't help, you know, like you don't waste time worrying about stuff, Hannah. You're like, you know, or just, I'm thinking about me now as well. Like, just what's the benefit of this? Does this help? Like, I've got a bee in my bonnet about helping lately, because I don't feel like I help. I want to help.
You feel a bit useless.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
So, but that can, and then it can feel quite reductive, and you start to think, oh, who am I? Because you're somebody's mum, somebody's wife, somebody's colleague, but you forget, who are you?
Yes.
And I think all of us have struggled with a bit of that this year.
Yeah.
Like a service provider.
Yeah.
We're like Virgin. We provide service.
I was until pretty late. Hi.
Because she says no to stuff that she doesn't want.
Yeah. Oh my god, it took so long to find the right one. But,
she got it.
Oh my god, but that's so true. You even waited for that because it, like, I got it out of the way.
Cinderfella. Yeah,
that's done.
Cinderfella. <Yeah. laughs> What's this? What is Cinderfella?
Well, I just waited until I found the right one that fit. I guess that's not exactly what I mean, but I just mean sort of, I didn't rush into that either and just said no.
Did you not? Oh god, you're good. You're so good. Do you know, when I said, are there any bits that you'd skipped? I think sometimes the most tempting thing is to skip the bits that hurt. And I was really thinking about this, and I was thinking, but actually they're the most valuable bits. Yeah. The painful bits are the educations and the things that really help you to evolve.
Yeah.
Because I have that thing with my to-be husband. He is like, he's a stand-up comedian as well. And we met
to-be husband, otherwise known as a fiancé.
Oh my god, I always say fiancé, and I feel like I can't say.
It's a very fancy word. It's a little too fancy.
Literally, since we got engaged, I've not called him it once because I just feel it's too wanky. Which is
can you say it on the podcast? Show him you love him. Come on.
Fiance is
yay.
But like, I met him at around the same time as I met Katie, what, like 12-13 years ago.
Yeah.
And 12-13 years ago, I was 20 and he was, you know, he's a little bit older than me, so he was like in his 30s, and we met and we got on, but that was not the right time for us to fall in love and get married and spend the rest of our lives together.
Yeah.
So actually, the things have kind of skipping and doing things at different times, like when we sort of re-met again 7 years later, it was kind of like, oh wow, this is totally the right time. We're both in the right place for this.
Can I just point out, right thing, wrong time. There's another one.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Please put that in your vows.
Yeah.
You were the right thing at the wrong time.
The wrong time.
I was having my Edinburgh boy parties at that point.
The floor boys.
But there you go.
I'm so happy that life expectancy is different, because I came to life at 40. Like, if my life were ending, I'd be so mad, because I feel like, I think you're supposed to feel in your 20s when you're Hannah George. Like, I finally feel put together and brave, and like, I'm living out loud. I'm living my authentic self. And it took me that long to do that. I didn't know how to set boundaries. I'm a people pleaser. I was too worried about being liked, and I made bad decisions as a result. I let people treat me badly as a result. So Yeah, you could say I've learned from that, but I would certainly erase a few of those instances where I was like, no, I think I built enough character. We can get rid of that one. Like,
But Taylor, even as a trained psychotherapist, you talk about making all the same mistakes that we do. And
why aren't you smarter than this, Taylor?
Yeah, surely you know better.
It's such a shame. I'm being facetious. No, I know, but it is such a shame. I've had people genuinely ask me that, like, oh, I get it. It cracks me up when people say that about parenting, like, oh, you must parent perfectly because you know exactly what impact you're going to have. And I was like, no, there is such a thing as hyper self-awareness.
Yeah.
And actually that works against you. You know, I've worked with people that have no self-awareness whatsoever. And you try to sort of instill that, but you can completely be the other way. So I don't know which way to go. Cause then there's also schools of thought. So like, if you could get into my brain when I'm trying to decide how to discipline my kid, I'm like, should I be young right now? Should I be, you know, Dr. Spock? Should I, you know, so I'm going into all these things. She must think I'm crazy. Cause I'm just like, trying to decide what to do, trying to do it perfectly.
We're like big old ships. You need to keep putting a coat of, you know, rust proof.
Yes, absolutely.
From time to time.
I love that.
Checking in. Yeah. It's interesting. I love that. I love that there's an honesty about what you do as a profession and the fact that you can still be, you know, human.
Yeah. I think it was harder to admit that while I was practicing. And I think there was a bit of a bravado. You know, I can remember going in for clinicians rounds and I feel like we were always sort of, we were careful with each other and we sort of, there was a bit of a one-upsmanship of like, I was on top of that. And like, so let's be so capable. So my 20-something self thought she was the sophisticated, all put together. And that's what I mean. I almost feel like I've gone the other way. Like I just have let myself unravel. Like I'm a fucking mess, but I'm living my best life right now.
You know what? Ironically though, like you are the best. Like you're one of my best friends. I think if I'd met you like when we were both in our 20s, I'm not sure we would have got along because sometimes you tell me stories about sort of being in these Manhattan bars with like six olives in your martini or whatever. And I'm like,
in a power suit.
Yeah. And that's what I love about Hattie as well, is it just brings
Hannah, right person, wrong time.
Hey, there we go.
It's everywhere.
And Hannah would have been in the Manhattan bar with her cider.
Yeah.
That we were drinking in Edinburgh.
Sleeping on a bed of tired boys.
I'm glad that's been a running theme, guys. Thanks very much. It genuinely makes me sound way more exciting. I gave them the bed. I let them sleep on the bed.
I know. There was two boys in the bed when I got home and Hannah was on the floor.
Two men in the bed and Hannah on the floor. Well, to be, that's like how every threesome I've had ends up. So that sounds.
We actually don't
need you.
Oh, no. It's fine. That's what Hannah told me happened, and now I'm.
But thanks for coming along. Like,
Hannah was doing an experiment and then trying to save face.
It's a real like,
oh, I gave him the bed. Yeah, it wasn't an attempted threesome.
A botched threesome.
Brilliant.
What a lovely note to end this show on.
I'm sorry, Hannah.
Ladies, thank you so much for your time and your conversation and for joining me in a couple of glasses of wine. It's been a pleasure. How was White Wine Question Time for you?
Yay!
So much fun.
I drank too much wine.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you haven't, do subscribe to the Drunk Women Solving Crime podcast. It's a hoot with crime and wine. That's all you need to know. Can have that for the posters. Thanks, girls.
Bye. Thanks so much.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed the show and you fancy rating and reviewing us, we'd love that. It really helps other people to discover our catalogue of conversation. As always, the show is produced by me, Kate Thornton, alongside Michael Bartolomwich for Yahoo UK with Callum Goddard-Mocklow on editing and co-producing duties. Our music, as always, is by Andy Bell. And we have endeavoured to drink responsibly making the show today and would suggest that if you're drinking, you do the same. But I'm not going to tell you what to do, because right now, I think we've got enough rules going on. Stay safe, my friends. We'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.